Oh, it is better to ask from these plants which have pure hearts. They are graciously serving the guest bees with their honey. Thus they approach the kuruwaka and other trees. The kuruwaka has red, unfading flowers. Naga means nagakesha. Nagakesha, sorry. Where is he gone, or where is he hiding? So in other words, they considered the flowering trees to be more compassionate than the trees that weren't flowering, because they were giving honey. And actually, this is relationship to what Prabhupada talked about, impious trees and pious trees. Like Prabhupada, pious trees, they produce flowers and fruits, and impious trees just don't give anything. They're just like these real tall pine trees that have don't even give shade. That's considered an impious tree. Of course, in Vrindavan, all the trees are pious. Sometimes it's described that some of the trees in Braj that appeared during Krishna's pastimes over 5,000 years ago were impersonalists. You know, Mayavadis or something. That's why they created the trees. But generally, the trees are actually the devotees of Krishna. So Prabhupada said, in regard to the impious trees, what he considered to be, you know, the tall pine trees, you can cut them down and make houses out of them or whatever, you know, furniture, whatever like that. But Prabhupada got very upset when the devotees were cutting down pious trees. I'll give you an example. There was a tree in our temple in Dallas, Texas. I was there at that time. And the tree had just been trimmed by the devotees. Trimmed because one of the branches was getting a little too close to the roof of the temple. And so the devotees naturally cut it, you know, thinking to protect the roof of the temple. And then Prabhupada stopped. I remember this as clear as day. Prabhupada stopped and he pointed and said, "Who has done this?" You know, just like trimming a tree, you know. What's wrong? And Prabhupada, and they said, it's hurting the... the devotee said, it's going to hurt the roof. Prabhupada said, "You're all nonsense." So anyway, so Prabhupada really didn't want pious trees cut down. Where is he gone, or where is he hiding? Why do you want to know? Fearing such... In other words, if the tree responded, "Why do you want to know?" Fearing such a question, the gopis said, "He has stolen the pride of us women with wealth of high esteem, using his smile, and fled away, leaving us without wealth." When the wind shook the tips of the branches, the gopis thought, "Oh, they are shaking their heads, saying they do not know. What use do we have for these hard male trees?" Thinking like this, they went elsewhere. It's actually a psychological term, which I forget right now, where you attribute human attributes to non-human entities.
Is it anthropomorphism?
No. Anthropomorphism is where you actually think that God must be like you. Because, you know, that's one of the standard atheist arguments. But anyway, there's this, psychological philosophy, not philosophy, but analysis or diagnosis, where people think that non-human entities are like us. For example, a lot of cartoons are based on that particular concept. Isn't it when you have a duck talking, you know, like Donald Duck, or Mickey Mouse, or Minnie Mouse, and that two mice are falling in love? So what's the psychological term? Zoomorphism. Yeah. Zoomorph, thank you. That intellectual here. it's actually a common thing you actually attribute, isn't it? Like we were talking about the other day, if you attribute a dog's actions to the same sort of actions that you would have with your beloved. Isn't it? He's kissing me. Exactly. So, and the dog, anyway, So that's what's happening here, and that's madness. That's complete madness, and the gopis were mad in that way. So Jiva Goswami comments, being great souls, they would, in other words, relationship to the trees, they will not speak to us insignificant women. Thus they ask other trees. Kurubaka is the Chanom Lana tree, and Naga refers to the Naga Keshara tree. Did he go from here? Or did he disappear here? Previously they asked, did you see him? Now they ask, did he go that way? It is possible for you to see far away. He cannot easily be found. Since he came here, we will find his footprints and find him by those footprints. Another version has Gataha instead of Itaha. According to Shridhar Swami, the word Itaha should be added to Gataha. They do not mention his name again for the reason mentioned previously. How did he steal the minds of the women as respectable as you? Do you remember why they didn't mention his name from yesterday's class? What?
None of his questions.
Yeah, because they were angry with Krishna. Just like if you're angry with someone, it's like mothers sometimes, if they're angry with their child, will actually say, your son. Not even my son, but your son. And don't even use the kid's name. Guess what? Or even they'll say, guess what that kid did? That person. So his smile steals the pride of even respectable women. He has no discretion in this matter. Just now he has stolen our pride and our position by his false smile. Thus we are looking for him. So in other words, you got this contrast that they're really angry with Krishna and they're still looking for him. You can't, like Prabhupada said, it's like a chutney. You understand? You know what a chutney Prabhupada said? Prabhupada said a chutney is too hot to eat and too sweet to resist. So Krishna is like a chutney in relationship with the gopis. They're really super angry with him, but they can't get him out of their minds. I mean, other times, they start chastising each other for talking about Krishna. They say, why are you talking about Krishna? I don't want to hear about Krishna. Don't mention Krishna's name. And in doing that, they keep mentioning, and then they ask you, so, but you're doing that. They can't stop. Because it's, you know, the other point is that the gopis were so upset that Lord Brahma created the eyes, you know, that would blink. And so they actually cursed Lord Brahma because he created those eyes. And also, they were praying to have eyes like fish that don't blink. And that's how much they loved Krishna. Even if they were angry with him, they couldn't keep him out of their mind. Actually, another point is that anger, meditating on someone in anger is actually, in one sense, more intense than meditating on someone in love. Just like even sometimes you have these demons who are meditating on Krishna, I mean, very intensely. And devotees sometimes pray, you know, let me have the same intensity of dedication and meditation. So that's the end of that purport. We'll continue reading. So we'll read text 7 in this chapter. Kachit talasi kalyani govinda charana priye sahakali punar viprad krishtaste iti priyochitaha. O most kind talasi, to whom the feet of Govinda are so dear, have you seen that infallible one walk by wearing you and encircled by swarms of bees? So, purport. The acharyas explain here that the word charana is a term of respect, as in the expression evam vadanchacharya charana. The bees humming around the garland worn by Sri Govinda were attracted by the fragrance of the tulasi manjaris offered to him. The gopis felt that the trees had not replied because they were male. In other words, they're taking Krishna's side. But that Tulasi, being female, would sympathize with their plight. Because they were, it's another projection. They were thinking that, you know, Krishna's mean, so all these men are mean. So let's take shelter with some other lady. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, approaching the Tulasi, Malati, and other plants, the gopis thought, these plants being female and therefore knowing the pain that women experience in love will be favorable to us. Therefore, we will ask them. Thinking like this, they approached the chief plant, Tulasi, and asked, O fortunate one, you are fortunate being dear to the feet of the Govinda. That's interesting. I say Govinda. And we are unfortunate because of separation from Krishna. Govinda Charana Priya can also mean that dear to the respectable Govinda. Oh, that's why they use the word the Govinda. Whose charana indicates respect, as in the phrase Acharya Charana, the respectable teacher. You are dear to him, is the gopis again speaking. Expecting such an answer, the gopis said, true, though it is so, you are more fortunate because of your additional attractive qualities, for you never experience separation. Wearing a garland of your leaves, twa vibrat, he has gone off. That is because of your greater qualification. Not even considering the disturbance of thousands of bees that go along with you, he has gone off. Being fond of fragrances, Krishna has not accepted us because we do not have such a fragrance. So here there, you know, there's a little hint of like envy towards Tulsi at this point. Like gopis are very envious of Krishna's flute too, because Krishna's flute openly can get the nectar of Krishna's lips. So there's one interesting story, actually several interesting stories, but one interesting story that comes to mind is that the gopis were actually planning how to steal Krishna's flute. And so what happened is that when Krishna was with Radharani, Radharani just grabbed his flute and then left with the flute. Now, but the problem was that Kutila, who is Radharani's so-called mother-in-law, Jutila is Radharani's so-called mother-in-law, and Kutila is the sister-in-law. She came upon Radharani, and Radharani had the flute, and she took the flute away. And Krishna was very upset, you know, how can I call the gopis anymore without my flute? And so what happened at that point is that Jatila went home, and she thought, now I got that rascal Krishna, I have his flute, he can't attract the gopis anymore. So Vrinda, who is in charge of the forest of Vrindavan and arranges for all the pastimes involving Krishna, she called for a very old monkey named Kakati, an old female monkey named Kakati. And she said to this female monkey, you go into Jatila's house and make a big mess. So this monkey goes into Jatila's house and starts tearing everything apart, and Jatila doesn't know what to do. She's just bereft. And she starts to throw things at the monkey, and finally, the only thing she has left to throw is the flute. And the monkey just makes teeth and just grabs the flute and takes it back to Krishna. And they live happily ever after. So, this is very interesting. Let's see. Okay. And then we'll read Jiva Goswami's commentary. Since these trees are males, and siding with Krishna out of malice, they do not speak to us on understanding our pride. They then questioned Tulasi on their side, since she was a female. It's pretty much the same information. Imagining that she has seen him, since it was known that she had unlimited fortune by gaining his affection. O Tulsi, who makes our birth auspicious, O Tulsi, most fortunate. The reason for her fortune is mentioned. O Tulsi, dear to the feet of Govinda, Lord of Gokula. Here's a quote. Let's see, where's this quote from? This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shri Riyat Padam Bhujarajas Chakrame Tulasya Lagva Pivakshasi Padam Gila Britja Jushtam Yasya Swavikshana Utanya Sura Prayasas Odvadvayam Chatavapara Raja Prapannaha. Goddess Lakshmi, whose glance is sought after by the devatas with great endeavor, has achieved the unique position of always remaining on the chest of her lord, Narayana. Still, she desires the dust of his lotus feet, even though she has to share that dust with Tulasi, and indeed with the Lord's many other servants. Similarly, we have approached the dust of your feet for shelter. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 29th chapter, text 37. Or charana can mean respect, as in the phrase, acharya charana vadanti. The respected acharya speaks. That respect is submitted with humility. O Tulasi, dear to the king of Gokula, since he loves you, he must have come here. She must be dear because he wears her garlands. He cannot ignore you, since he has affection for you. They hint that he has great affection for the gopis also. So even though the garland is surrounded by bees, Krishna wears it. This shows his affection. The bees cannot avoid that garland because it is as dear to the Lord. Thus, Tulasi's great qualities are indicated. It is also impossible for him to hide because of the buzzing bees. Therefore, he must have come here, and you must have seen him. He will not leave you, Achyutaha. That's interesting. Because generally, the word Achyutaha means infallible. In this particular case, you know, it's the name of Krishna. He does not fall down. He who does not fail in any of his endeavors. That's another meaning of the word achyuta. So here the word achyuta is that he's not going to fall down from being with you, Tulsi. He's not going to leave you. Very interesting. So Sanatana Goswami's commentary. Since these trees are males and siding with Krishna out of malice, malice means, you know, they're angry with us, they do not speak to us on understanding our pride. They then questioned Tulsi on their side, since she was a female, imagining that she had seen him, since it was known that she had unlimited fortune by gaining his affection. O Tulsi, who makes our birth auspicious, or O Tulsi, most fortunate. The reason for her fortune is mentioned. O Tulasi, dear to the feet of Govinda, Lord of Gokul, revealing unlimited sweetness, you are dearer to him than Mahalakshmi. But just think how fortunate we are to be worshiping Tulsi Devi every day. It's not just a ritual. I mean, if you remember the song that we're chanting in Tulsi, not so much Yani Kani Chapapani, Brahmahachari Kani Chap. That is in a different mood. That song is, you know, go kill a Brahmin, circumambulate like Tulsi. I mean, it's interesting, you contrast the mood from the Tulsi Kirtan to the circumambulation prayer. It's just like, huh? Rasa Basya, basically. But Prabhupada gave it to us. Oh, another point about Tulsi is that nowadays, when people say the pranam to Tulsi, many people say Vrindayaya Tulsi Devi Priyaya Krishna Bhakti. So that's not the right mantra. The right mantra is Vishnu Bhakti, Prabhupada gave it to us. I don't think we should be changing mantras that Prabhupada gave to us. Prabhupada specifically wrote this down to his devotees. So anyway, so going through the Tulsi mantra, you're dear to Krishna, Radha Krishna, Sevaka Prabhupada, and Yadu Vashi. One who actually attains your mercy gets to be with Radha and Krishna. One who gets your sharan, shelter, one who surrenders to you, all your desires are fulfilled. Wow. Tulsi is like a desire tree. People call it Vrindavana Pashi. Then you get a chance to live in the groves of Vrindavan. Wow. Wow. And you get to see the Radha Krishna conjugal love the Abhilash, Vilash, Kunjali, Vilash. And then you get a chance to see Radha Krishna's pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. And then of course, one is praying to be a Sakhi in the Tulsi prayers. One is praying always, Nayana, Vibhasara, Vibhalad, Vibhavasi, always to see their beautiful pastimes, Nayana, isn't it? Pretty intense, intimate prayer. So you think about it, it's actually a really deep prayer to become a sakhi and always see Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And anyway, that's it. And that's what you're praying for. If you think of that when you're chanting the Tulsi prayer, you'll be in ecstasy. Or you'll be thinking, no, I just want to stay in the material world. What the heck am I praying this for? You know, see, if you're actually praying to become a sakhi, even your boy is praying to become a sakhi. Anyway, it's interesting. You are dear to him, and Mahalakshmi, she aspires in the dust of those feet with great endeavor, but you are naturally dear to Krishna's feet. They do not mention his lotus feet since they are angry with him. Wow. They're really angry. He wears you or accompanied by bees. This means the Tulsi leaves are within the Vaijayanti garland. That's Krishna's garland. This is not Vaijayanti. Or at this time he plucked Tulsi and wore a garland of Tulsi. Having you seen him? Some of the English here. The person who translated this is not a native English speaker, so it's Bhanu Maharaj, of Japanese, but he's expert. Having seen him, since he is affectionate to you, have you seen him? It should be, have you seen him, since he is affectionate to you? That's why I'm correcting some of the English as we go along. The garland is full of honey, and thus the bees cannot leave it. Since they buzz with intoxication, it is impossible for him to hide. He must have come to you. And you have seen him. He never leaves you. And again, the word achyuta is used in that context. So you can actually use the word achyuta to mean Krishna who never leaves the gopis. Or the gopis in him. This confirms that he must be near. Wow. That's a new meaning of the word achyuta, isn't it? That's beautiful, isn't it? So next time I hear the word achyuta, I won't think of I won't think that it means someone who never falls down. I'll think of someone who never forgets the gopis. Ali Kulahi could also mean with friends. He wears you even though you have many friends. You are dear to him among many. Thus you are very dear to him. On the other hand, he holds many of us dear. Ati Priyaha. Ati means supremely, right? Your Sanskrit scholar. Like I gave one of my disciples the name Ati Sundari. You know what that means? Supremely beautiful. That didn't mean that she was. That's the name of Radharani, you know. Anyway, Ati Priyaha means very extremely, that's it. I guess it's superlative, right? Hati. So he holds everyone dear. This is a statement of hatred. That's funny. And anyway, let me go over this again. So, thus you are very dear to him. On the other hand, he holds many of us dear, Adipriha, or he holds everyone dear. You know, so, oh, the jealousy. That's why the hatred is there. He holds everyone dear. Why not us, you know? He holds you dear. You know, he's... So, it's actually anger, as we mentioned before, is one of the indirect rasas. So, Shriyat Panambujavrajas Chakametulasya. Same verse. I think we really recited that. Goddess Lakshmi, whose glance is sought after by the Devatas with great endeavor, has achieved the unique position of always remaining on the chest of their Lord, Narayan. Still, she desires the dust of his lotus feet. We read this, because this is also being repeated. Even though he has to share that dust with Tulsi and indeed with the Lord's many servants. Similarly, we've approached the dust of your lotus feet for shelter. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 29th chapter, text 37. Or charnaka mean respect as in the phrase so he's basically saying the same thing. So I don't need to repeat this. This is actually exactly the same as the previous purport. Therefore, he must come here, the last line, and you must have seen him. He will not leave you, achyutaha. In other words, he will not leave the gopis. So, any questions before we go on to the next one? Because these are pretty much self-explanatory purports and verses. Questions or comments? Or should we go on to the next verse? Where's Maha Mantra? Probably tired from coming back last night. Huh. Hope he's not sick. Huh. All right, so text 8. We'll finish up with text 8 today. Malatya darshiva kachin malike jati utke ritimbo janayanyata Karasparshena Mahadavaha. O Malati, O Malika, O Jati, and Yudhika, has Madhava gone by here giving you pleasure with the touch of his hand? So, purport. When even Tulsi herself did not answer the gopis, they approached the fragrant jasmine flowers. The gopis, seeing the jasmine vines, humbly bowing down, assumed these plants must have seen Lord Krishna. And therefore they were showing humility in their ecstasy. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, this Tulsi, intoxicated with pride of her good fortune, is not looking at us, as the gopis' thoughts. Therefore we will ask the jasmine plants, who are like us, as co-wives without such good fortune. Saying this, they went off in another direction. Because Krishna has touched you while picking flowers, you are now blooming fully in the rainy and autumn seasons. Jati is a species of jasmine. So Jiva Goswami, because she feels proudly she is respected by him, she does not speak. Referring again to the jasmine. They then asked the flowering shrubs, who are servants of Krishna without pride. Actually, they were talking about Tulsi. Yeah. Bowing down and offering their flowers to him. Out of great agitation, they call each other flower individually. According to Sridhar Swami, Kachit simply indicates a question. You have seen him, but did he touch you? We ask this particular question. Or they surmise that the flowering shrubs saw him since they see the marks of his hand on the plants. The reason is that he likes flowers just as he likes spring season. He is called Madhava. And here Madhava is translated as spring. Because that's a month, you know, Madhava month. So here it's indirectly understanding spring. He is spring. The touch of his hand means that he plucked the best flowers with his hand. Tell us where he has gone, since we are suffering greatly. They also joke with some envy that he has marked these flowering plants with his fingernails as if they were women. So Sanatana Goswami's commentary. Since Tulasi is a co-wife, she will not speak. Then they ask Krishna's servants. They call out to each one in affection, thinking of the plants as Krishna's servants, since they offered suitable flowers to him. He gave you pleasure, or he who... Pleasure, or he who is yours gave pleasure to you. Did he come here and give you pleasure by the touch of his hand? Or they imagine that the flowers saw him. He plucked their excellent flowers with his hand. He must have come near you. Or he injured you with his nails as a jest. Cutting off the flowers with his nail, they question his motive in plucking flowers. He plucked them for the pastimes of Madhura Ras. Madhura Ras means the country Ras. Madhavaha. Or he plucked them for Lakshmi. So Madhava also means husband of Lakshmi. This is uttered in hatred. So the gopis are saying, I mean, it's really supremely angry here. Actually, Madhava means the consort of Radha. There's another meaning of Madhava. He picked them to decorate her. So now they're, now they're beginning to experience envy towards Radha. Though they did not specifically search for this meaning, because of their pure nature or because of the divine arrangement, the words came out of their mouths, revealing the truth spontaneously. So we'll end here. Any questions? Or else we can end the class. Questions about these pastimes? No? Hate in Krishna's name?
Yeah, I know Krishna's name. One time I visited them with Varshana.
Yeah.
And I was going on the Paragraph path. And one boy was bringing me to the temple. And as I was going, there was a Krishna, because the path was quite steep.
Yeah.
And there was two old ladies on the path as I was going by, and they started hissing. Like this. I said, what was that? And the boy said, I'm not saying the name of Krishna, and they don't like to hear it.
So you were near Lalita's village, or?
No, we went to Tripta village. We went to Tripta village. And we were going up by Vahagapuram, by Gaitwa Mandir, and up to Sriji Mandir, under the steep.
Yeah, yeah, towards the Sriji Mandir.
Yeah, yeah. Before you come to that bazaar.
Yeah, so the, I guess they're in the angry mood, Lalita's mood towards Krishna.
Yeah, they don't, yeah, because every morning there's a group of ladies that come from Alita's village before the Mangalarti, and they sit there and sing the Mangalarti. So that's like a couple of kilometers. And one of the ladies there, she's blind from Alita's village. And every day she comes to that, comes up those steps.
So much devotion they have.
So
yeah, these are presents. Well, we should not imitate them.
Yeah.
tell you a funny story. That's a little similar, but it's the opposite. Because I spent a lot of time in Braj, so I got, you know, I get used to saying Radha, Radha, Radha to everyone, to greet everyone. You know, certainly don't say Krishna, Krishna in Braj. You say Radha, Radha. And so, after being in Braj for about 2 weeks, I went to Mayapur. And, you know, was greeting one of my godbrothers, and I said, Radhe, Radhe. I didn't know what I was saying. And he started to yell at me. No, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! No, Radhe, Radhe! It's against the law. And then at one point, the GBC even passed a resolution that you couldn't chant the, well, I mean, you could chant like the name of the deities, but you couldn't chant Radhe, Radhe in the kirtan. So then some devotees put together a very funny video. I don't know if any of you saw that video. It was based on this one video, The Life of Brian.
Oh,
where you saw it? Where someone, anyway, so someone was getting accused of something, so they put different words in the people's mouths. They say, don't, if you say Rade, Rade, get stoned, so they were condemning someone to get stoned. And the person who was condemning him said Rade, Rade, and he was the one who got stoned and killed for saying Rade, Rade. And then, you know, because it was actually a play on the GBC. The GBC has passed a resolution. You can't say Rade, Rade. And they're stoning him for saying Rade, Rade. There's no prohibition. Obviously, Prabhupada said there's no prohibition about chanting, for chanting Radha Rani's name, but we always chant Radha Rani's name when we chant Hare Krishna. We should understand that. Like Hare is vocative, as is Radhe. Vocative means crying out. Hare Krishna. So you're crying out, oh, energy of the Lord, internal energy of the Lord, Radha Rani. Please let me serve Krishna. So that's it. It's basically the same thing you say, Hare, Hare. Not Hare. Hare. We're members of the Hare Krishna. No one has a Hare Krishna movement. We're just a little bit different. Hare Krishna. But that's right. If you say Hare, that's Krishna. You say Hare. And you say Hara, it's someone different. So you got to be careful how you pronounce it. Or like you have the word Rama, that's Lord Ram, but you say Rama. Do you understand? He's the goddess of fortune. So you got to really be careful in Sanskrit. And actually some devotees even chant Ramo or something like that in Kirtan. Hari Romo. And that's completely unbonified. You hear kirtan sometimes. Devotees just like chant in different ways. The pronunciation is very important. Anyway, so we have to end now on that happy note. All glories to his divine.